Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
So sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
Well, happy Wednesday evening. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio, and I am Lisa Payne Nager here for your Wednesday evening hour of Culture Vigilante. And we have a great show lineup for you this week. We have several guests waiting in the wings. We have Ben Evans that'll be here later on in the hour from the Heritage Foundation, and Bob McCarty to talk about his book, 3 Days in August, and Tom Martz of Locke and Smith Foundation to help us introduce a new segment called Yankee Doodle Legislation. We've talked about that a little bit on the air before. And as our audience grows here, we kind of want to make sure that everybody knows what Missouri Grassroots Coalition is all about. We are a network of grassroots Tea Party patriot organizations across the state of Missouri here to provide support and a forum and a voice for each other to take back our government, to form a stronger coalition, to become more actively involved in creating a government that's for the people. And we'll get started right away with our first guest. This week's Patriot Spotlight is from the St. Louis Tea Party. And the St. Louis Tea Party probably is one of the founding Tea Party movements in the country that started this movement a few years ago. And we're lucky enough tonight to have our first guest, Bill Hennessy, who's one of the founding members of the St. Louis Tea Party, with us to tell us about where the Tea Party has been and where it's going in the future. Good evening, Bill. How are you?
Hey, Lisa. How are you doing? You're way too kind to me, but thank you.
Oh, no, not at all. You guys have done a lot of great work, and I know that you've worked a lot with Tea Party groups across the country to kind of move things along and organize the wave that has swept across the nation to bring a voice to the people and to kind of bring us back to constitutional roots.
Yeah, it's been I was just sitting here listening to your introduction and to the music at the beginning and the speeches, and I was thinking that from the first of this Tea Party movement, from the beginning of the Tea Party movement in February of 2009 to today, about the same amount of time has passed as the time from the Boston Tea Party to the Declaration of Independence, and it's realized it's remarkable that we're still going, you know, that any movement lasts 3 years when you think of the commercial fads backed by billions of dollars of advertising that don't make it through the Christmas season. But other is the amount of work that people have done. There were about 28 million people who attended some sort of a Tea Party event in that first year. And now we've been doing this for 3 years, and not all 28 million have hung around, but man, we have really put a lot of energy in, and we're now really starting to see the fruits of our labor, I think. And hopefully in November we'll see a much bigger win, but also maybe we'll get some good news this month from the Supreme Court.
Well, yeah, that would be very good news. But I'm going to challenge you a little bit and kind of maybe suggest that maybe those 28 million are still there, because as you know, I mean, the St. Louis Tea Party has certainly experienced it, and I think it's kind of working its way across the country. I think the people are still there, Bill, but I think that the Tea Party movement has morphed into something a little bit different. You know, we're not all out there rallying all the time anymore. We've kind of taken on a different role. Can you kind of give your opinion about how you think that's changed? I know the St. Louis Tea Party has kind of changed and morphed a little bit. What do you think about the general Tea Party movement?
Yeah, I think that the grassroots conservative movement overall is alive and well, not as visible, and I think that's actually a good thing, at least at times. There's other times where I honestly wish we were more visible, but I know it's like I said, it's been 3 years. It's been 3.5 years actually. It's a lot for people who have other lives to devote as much as we did maybe that first 6 or 8 months that really got the ball rolling. But here's what I see going on is that, you know, that first wave of Tea Parties in 2009 and even into the first part of 2010 was really a recruitment drive, right? It was telling people there are many people who believe what we believe and didn't know that there were other people who also believe that. It's why the Rush Limbaugh show, when it first came on the air back in the late 80s, was such an amazing discovery for a lot of us, because caller after caller would say, I can't believe that there's somebody on the radio who thinks like I think. And we experienced that again in 2009 with, wow, there's a party in the park for people who think like me. And that necessarily had to advance into another step. But it also has to grow, which is what we're trying to do in St. Louis with the After Party movement, is we're trying to help people become better ambassadors of our philosophy, stronger ambassadors of our philosophy, because about a third of the population believes what we believe and know it. And about a third of the population doesn't believe. They think we're wrong. And we're never going to convince them, or probably not. It's going to take a lot of energy. But in between, there's a big chunk of people who believe what we believe and don't realize it yet. There are people who know that there's something wrong with the direction that government and even parts of society have been traveling in the last, name it, 10, 20, 40, 50 years. But they're not sure that there's a group of people or a philosophy or a unifying thought that reflects what they believe. And I think that we do, but I think the problem has been we haven't always found the right words and the right mechanisms and the right tools to let them know that we're on the same team.
So let's talk a little bit about those tools, because I know that you have been very active. Well, let's back up just a second as well. You know, when the Tea Party first organized, and there were a lot of people on the steps of the arch, you know, in 2009, and there, in a lot of the Tea Party gatherings after that, in the summer to follow, that, you know, I kind of thought you had an older demographic. You know, it was that older and wiser generation who, you know, had seen more and seen what was lost a lot easier. And maybe it hasn't, you know, I think it's morphed into something that you've cast a wider net and you've reached a broader audience. And I think maybe the use of social media and blogging has played a huge part in educating the public. You know, I know that the St. Louis Tea Party has a great mechanism for getting that kind of information out, but it seems like also the Tea Party organizations and the grassroots organizations have taken on the task of just educating the populace about what the mainstream media will not tell you. You know, go ahead.
I agree absolutely, and I think that I think we've also done a really good job, and not necessarily me, but the movement has done a really good job of finally being vocal and visible in our love of liberty and freedom, to the point and I hear this all the time from folks that, you know, my next door neighbor had a Gadsden flag bumper sticker on their car. And I thought they were nuts until I started talking to them and realized that I think the same thing. And that's the kind of connections that we're trying to make, because that's where we can really make a difference. And no, you're never going to get that on the Washington Post that believes this job is to get Barack Obama reelected.
Right. Well, you guys have done a fabulous job of getting that word out. You know, you've got bloggers, you've got videographers, you've got experts in all the social media. I'm going to need somebody to give me a Twitter tutoring lesson because my Twitter is not up to speed. You guys have done a really good job of reaching out to the next demographic, and your audience is a lot younger than it used to be.
Yes, and that's really important. You know, I don't know if a lot of people realize it, but the millennial generation, the kids, they're just hitting 30 now, and they go back to 20 years from that. That's the largest generation in American history. It's actually bigger than the boomer generation, just because of a larger population, and it has a large immigrant population. But still, the people in that group are the largest generation to come along. They're not only going to inherit something we leave behind, they're going to mold what's going to be left as the boomers step off the kind of the societal merry-go-round and sit back and enjoy their retirement. We have to impart the value of freedom that frankly hasn't been covered in a lot of textbooks and a lot of curricula and in the popular media in the last 20 years. It was in the 80s, as recently as the 80s, there was a celebration of American heritage and liberty in our founding philosophies. But it's kind of evaporated, and somebody has to bring that back, and God, I hope we are.
So tell me about what the St. Louis Tea Party has in mind for kind of engaging the public. I know that you guys have this great website, and you do a lot of education through the internet, but I also know that you guys are involved in kind of a community outreach. You do have the after party. Tell me a little bit about the after party and its purpose.
Well, the goal of the after party is it's a monthly event on the third Thursday of every month in a different location. We were in St. Charles last week. We'll be at Helen Fitzgerald's in Sunset Hills on June 21st. But we go to a different location. We hold a fairly short meeting, and the rest of the evening is to talk to each other, to talk to other folks at the establishment, to bring neighbors in maybe who don't know if they're right for the Tea Party or if the Tea Party is right for them, to meet and see that we're actually ordinary people who have a good time and go out, and we're able to converse on a number of subjects, not just the Constitution, because frankly there are people who love liberty that don't want to hear the deep details or aren't ready for that discussion. So it's a social event around a fairly important cause, which is saving the last bastion of freedom and liberty on the planet.
Okay. Well, let's kind of talk about what you guys have, how we can get in touch with the Tea Party in St. Louis, how we can find out more about the after party. Can you give me some information on the web?
The easiest thing to go is stlouisteaparty.com. That's stlouisteaparty.com. And right up at the top is a button that says, in the top nav bar, it says Join Now. And Join Now is just going to be a first name, last name, email address to get you on our mailing list. You don't have to pay any money. You don't have to. You can discontinue anytime if you're not completely satisfied. But it's that's the easiest way to go. And we have, honestly, I'll brag a little bit about the daily newsletter. It is a daily newsletter. It's news from Missouri grassroots, either organizations or individuals, bloggers. And it's names that you don't necessarily recognize. Not all of them are household names, but man, when I am out, every person I meet who finds out that I'm the Tea Party guy, the first thing they say is, "I read your email every day," and it's fantastic. I hear this not only from people in St. Louis, but from people in Atlanta, in New York, in Southern California, in throughout the state of Illinois. And it really feels good because I don't do very much of the writing. You do, and many other great St. Louis and Missouri bloggers do. But people really find a lot of value in that.
And the Tea Party really does reach beyond St. Louis. St. Louis Tea Party reaches beyond the St. Louis borders. You guys have been involved with a lot of people across the country, some very big names and some organizations across the country to help spread that Tea Party message.
We have. We've been really lucky. You know, we had Jim Hoff's reach, a gateway pundit, has, you know, he's nationally, he's a national voice from St. Louis. And Dana Lash, of course, has huge national reach on CNN and radio. And through various events and circumstances, Andrew Breitbart fell in love with what we were doing in that first year, particularly our willingness to stand up to the SEIU and not let innocent people get beat up without consequence. And all of those things kind of, to a large degree, it's luck and hard work on a lot of other people's part. And I've been really happy because I get to be on TV now and then, but I don't know why they do it, but they put me on. So it's a lot of other people who've done great work. And frankly, it's the 300 people who showed up almost every night in the month of August in 2009. That was an amazingly powerful testimony to the people who really want to see America turn it around. And you know, demographers and political scientists tell you that one person writing a letter represents 10 people just like them, not an email, but a real letter. Mm-hmm. And one person showing up represents at least 100 just like them. So when we were putting 1,000 people and 10,000 people in parks, we were doing things that professional political groups have to pay people to do.
Well, I think that's just a great testament to the work of the St. Louis Tea Party. You guys have been at the very basis of the growth across the country of the Tea Party movement and the grassroots movement. I want to thank you very much for being here tonight, Bill. I really appreciate you coming on with us tonight. And if you happen to be in the St. Charles area tomorrow night, Bill will be speaking to the St. Charles County Pachyderms at Donatelli's Restaurant on Highway N and 40 tomorrow at 6 o'clock, I believe. Is that about right, Bill?
Yes, it is, 6 o'clock.
Okay, and everybody's invited. Everyone's welcome. The event is free to the public. And come and meet Bill, shake his hand, and tell him how much you appreciate the work of the Tea Party, and come and get involved. Thanks
well, thank
for coming
you very much,
tonight.
Lisa.
We appreciate it. Thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was Bill Hennessy. Once again, don't forget Donatelli's Restaurant tomorrow at 6 o'clock. If you want to talk to Bill and talk about Tea Party and how to get involved with the Tea Party, he'll be there. I'll be there. A lot of good conservative grassroots people will be there, so feel free to come on by. And we'll take a little break, and we'll come back with Tom Martz from Locke & Smith. Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Welcome back to Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Lisa Payne Nager, and I'm broadcasting here from St. Charles, Missouri. I've got my producer, board runner Dave, waiting in the wings and working on things behind the scenes, helping train my son to do the same. Dave's in Springfield. How are you this evening, Dave?
I'm good. How are you, Lisa?
I'm doing great. So you're going to skip out on me in a little bit and go play some softball tonight?
I'm going to skip out on you and go play some softball. That's right. If I survive that, I'll be back. I'll be back with you next time.
Oh, that's good. Because I believe on Thursday you have another good show lineup.
We do have a good show lined up on Thursday. Actually, it might be more of a butcher job. Neither of our candidates has conceded to come.
Really? Who did we invite
on Thursday? We invited. You caught me off guard here. I don't have my schedule in front of me. Missouri 10, whoever that is.
The Senate race for Missouri 10?
I got it right here. I've got it right here now. Billy Pat Wright and Doug Libla. I'm sorry, that's Missouri 25. Missouri House of Representatives 25. Okay. And neither of them want to come because both of them are actually establishment candidates. And so we'll have some fun talking about – we'll talk about them.
So there's no grassroots candidates in that district?
No. No grassroots candidates in that district, sadly.
Well, that's a shame. Well, you know, we'll have to change that for the next election, I think.
Exactly.
Well, and on Thursday nights we have Dave's Stretched Hour of Truth. Friday night we have the Missouri Grassroots Roundtable discussing the political events of the week with Missouri Grassroots board members and guests. And on Monday, again, Dave will be stretching his hour of truth to an hour and a half to interview some more candidates. And on Tuesday, we have Von Carriker with Show Me Common Sense. And she always has a great lineup on her show. What was her show lineup last week, Dave?
Her show lineup last week was about the foster care system in the state of Missouri, yeah. Friday's going to be fun, though. We're going to have you. You're going to come along kind of as a panelist guest on Friday, and then Mike Smith of Buffalo is going to come along. Now, you went to a Randall Spence forum this week, and Mike went to a debate between the three candidates who are facing off for the privilege of fighting against McCaskill, Aiken Brunner Steelman. And so we're going to talk to both of you and get your impressions of those forums and of those candidates.
And you've given me a good segue because I did want to make a couple of announcements here. Here on Missouri Grassroots Radio, we are here to be a voice for the people. You won't generally hear a lot of candidates or politicians as guests here, but during an election year, we will give you an opportunity. We have invited some candidates so that we will give you an opportunity to vet those candidates so that you can go to the voting booth as an informed citizen. We also want to make sure that you know of every opportunity that there is out there across the state to go hear those candidates and to listen to them and to ask them the tough questions and to hold their feet to the fire so that you can also, again, get answers to your questions and go to the voting booth as an informed citizen. St. Charles County Young Republicans is hosting a candidate forum on June 21st at Ham's Deli, 105 North Main Street at 7 p.m. I think the social begins at 6:30 p.m., so drop in there. I believe that they're having a governor's forum that evening. And on June 11th at Lindenwood University, the local conservative talk radio station here, is also having a senator's candidate forum for the U.S. Senate candidates. And that will be at Lindenwood University on June 11th at 7:30. You can call the box office. The event is free, but you do have to reserve tickets. The number is 636-949-4433. And make sure that you take every opportunity that you can to go out there and ask those tough questions and get all your questions answered so that you know who and what to vote for. Let's move on. We're kind of running a little long here. I don't want to have to cut anybody short. Something that I want to introduce here on Missouri Grassroots Radio as a reoccurring segment is an issue that's kind of near and dear to my heart. Every year when I read through the list of legislation, I just go ballistic at what I read. Last year, I think that legislators wrote over 2,000 pieces of legislation. Most of it was bogus. Some of it was redundant. 99% of it is not needed. It's just obscene. And a lot of it is self-serving and self-aggrandizing. So what we're trying to do here is introduce a segment called Yankee Doodle Legislation Alert, And we have Tom March with us. Tom March is with the Locke and Smith Foundation. And I'm going to let him explain to you what the Locke and Smith Foundation is. And we've targeted a couple pieces of legislation for our first Yankee Doodle legislation alert for you this evening. Hi, Tom. How are you this evening?
I'm quite well. How about yourself?
I'm doing just great. Thank you for being with us. I really appreciate you joining us. Tell me a little bit about what Locke and Smith does and how you guys are kind of watchdogs for the legislation.
Well, the Locke and Smith Foundation's mission is to hold elected officials accountable to the federal and state constitutions. In other words, we match up what they say versus what they do when it comes time to vote on legislation. Oftentimes we find out that the two are not in parallel with one another.
Okay. So in your opinion, so at the end of the year, you guys monitor what goes through the House of Representatives and the Senate in Missouri, and you monitor all that legislation, right? And you choose a legislator who you think kind of best personifies good constitutional government?
Yeah, we read everything that reaches the status of third read and passed legislation, because those are the only pieces of legislation that in reality can have any effect on the people in the state of Missouri. We expect our legislators to stop all the bad legislation before it gets that far. But the ones that don't, the committee gets together and we read these pieces of legislation, and we have 9 criteria questions that we go by. It's kind of like you heard a WWJD is what would Jesus do? Well, we're on the basis of WWMD, what would Madison do? And we base these pieces of legislation on whether they are constitutionally sound, government is the one who should be doing this, or government should not be doing this. And then we take the voting record on those pieces of legislation, and at the end of the year, we award a granite plaque to the most constitutionally voting member of the Missouri House and the Missouri Senate.
Okay, so let's just kind of jump right in. We've targeted a couple of pieces of legislation this week that we think deserve the Yankee Doodle legislation alert. Now, the Yankee Doodle legislation alert is a piece of legislation that is pretty, it's just self-aggrandizing. I mean, it really doesn't do anything to advance the freedom and liberty of the Missouri citizen. It's great to campaign on because it gets the grassroots folks fired up, and it's usually a subject near and dear to their heart, and they're passionate about it. But when you read between the lines and you read the fine print, you know, after this legislation is passed, you're not going to be in any better shape than you were before it was written. Is that right, Tom?
Correct. It kind of riles up the electorate, gives them a rah-rah to get out, vote for me, this is what I'm doing for you, and if you want more of the same, then you'll get out and support me and staunch conservatives like me.
Right. And so what have you picked out for us this week? What's your piece of Yankee Doodle legislation?
I think my biggest pet peeves is House Bill 1104, and that's the one that is proclaimed to be voter ID.
Okay, let's talk about that one. Why do you think that's a passionate one especially the grassroots electorate? They really want that voter ID to go through, and it's a great idea. So what's wrong with this legislation?
Well, I think it needs to be changed in a manner. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I think like 6-7 months ago, there was a down in Mountain Home, Arkansas. There was a group that literally was busted for making meth. But what they ended up finding inside this trailer was, to the amazement to a lot of FBI agents, was the capability to create state driver's licenses that are identical to the ones that are being issued by states. I am holding in my hand right now a voter registration application that I can fill out, I can send it in, and I will automatically get a voter tab sent to me by mail stating that I can go vote at such and such a location with an ID.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if I have an ID already in the name of, let's say, Billy Hunter? So I register as Billy Hunter at such address, and I go down and vote. It didn't prevent, voter ID didn't prevent me from casting a couple ballots.
You know, and I was kind of skimming through this bill also today, and with all of the criteria, it's a 14-page bill, too long, too much pontification in it for my money. And on page two or three, it also note, you know, the argument is as well, you know, it's oppressive. People can't afford to get the license or whatever. And, you know, but on page two or three, it seems to state, well, if you are willing to swear an affidavit that you are who you say you are, then you don't need to have identification. So
now,
14 pages of pontification mean nothing here.
Yeah, one of the reasons that the committee rejected this is actually on page two of this, and I don't know whether you're looking at the House bill or the Senate bill, but for our purposes, because the House bill did not get to the governor's desk and the Senate actually killed this bill in the Senate, we're actually using the House version.
Okay.
And on page two, it specifically states that all election authority costs associated with the implementation of the photo identification requirements of this section shall be reimbursed from the general revenue of this state by an appropriation for that purpose. If there is no appropriation and distribution of state fund, then election authorities shall not enforce the photo identification requirements of this section. So they gave you an opt-in only to opt out, because if somebody decides they're not going to appropriate any money for it, you don't have to abide by it. What good is the piece of legislation if it has no teeth?
So this is the poster child for read your legislation before you go and support it. You know, don't just take a legislator's word for it that this is what we need and this is the good thing. But I know that the Republican legislature has been on the stump, you know, touting this legislation as a good thing, and you know, when you read between the lines, you got bupkis. Okay, what's the next? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think one of the things that could actually be done to this piece of legislation is, instead of having the availability to send in a voter registration application by mail, go down to the county clerk or go over to wherever it is that you have to go and vote. Submit your ID, fill out the form, and voila, you get a voter registration card. ID's already been checked. It's already in the proper name. The essence of you being able to forge more documents than just that one would be a little bit difficult.
It's a lot of work for a lot of people. Not too many people are going to go through that extra step. They just want to be able to go and vote.
Yeah,
right?
Plus there should be a database of people who, I mean, if you're registered to vote in the state, you should be able to look up, well, six people already have that voter ID and that name at that location.
Right.
You know, something that would be fast, efficient, and would actually solve the problem if the problem is as detrimental as they say it is.
Okay. Well, let's talk about right to work real quick. We're kind of running out of time, and I kind of want to get at least a couple of pieces in here. Right to work, another hot-button piece of legislation for the grassroots community. Everybody's been screaming about right to work, and the Republicans have been hiding under their desk when you talk about it. So you made a comment to me earlier this week that you didn't really like this piece of legislation because it gives more power to the employee than it does to the employer. Is that correct?
Yeah, SB 1 and SB 206 from last year actually specifically states in the bill that the employee, at their discretion, can opt out of a union. Well, and granted, it's my business. If I am a business owner and part of my requirement for you to work for me is to join the union, then you're going to join the union. Don't come into my business location and dictate to me the terms of your employment, because right to work, in reality, it's a privilege to work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not aware of anywhere that you have a right to work, and I think this problem could be solved by people requesting an opt-out clause in the contract negotiations.
And they can't do that now?
Oh, I think they could. I just don't think that's an avenue that they go down. I mean, there really doesn't need to be government involvement in this. I'm not a union supporter. I despise the fact that, you know, that a lot of our federal government employees are union. As a taxpayer, I didn't give them the authority to do that. This predates me, predates you, in the time frame that this came into being. And I think we need to be playing with a level playing field here. I don't like the fact that unions get to monopolize an employer, but I also don't want to see employees get to monopolize an employer either.
So again, some fine tuning needs to be done before this legislation advances, and people need to be very aware of what it says and what the repercussions are or the unintended consequences could be. So we need people to read the legislation and be vocal with their representatives and not just complain about it, but to make some positive suggestions in the right direction so that we do get the representation that we are looking for. Tom, I want to thank you.
Can I have a second? Do you know
sure,
what the
right
best
ahead.
Example? Do you know what the best example of what it is that you're talking about this year and last year?
What?
Was the Do Not Tread On Me license plate.
Oh, really?
The Do Not Tread On Me license plate specifically stated last year that they were going to take the Show Me state off of the license plate and put Don't Tread On Me. And the Party Patriot movement was hooray, hooray, hooray. We got our license plate. Well, then when they showed what it was going to look like, everyone was complaining, jumping up and down, hollering and screaming, well, that's not what they voted for. Well, yes, it is what they voted for. There was no mention of the coiled-up snake in this piece of legislation. There was no mention of anything that looks like the Gadsden flag. The piece of legislation specifically stated they were going to take Show Me State off the license plate, put Don't Tread On Me, and because people didn't actually read the piece of legislation, they got all excited thinking that they got something, when in reality, had they just actually read the bill, they would have realized that they've been had.
Well, I would agree, and I think that's something. Let's go into this in a little bit more detail next week if you're available, and pick another couple pieces of Yankee Doodle legislation to kind of throw out there for people to consider. Tom, tell me how you can get in touch with the folks at Locke and Smith. How do we find you?
The Locke and Smith Foundation can be found at Locke, that is spelled with an E, L-O-C-K-E, that's for John Locke, and A-N-D, Smith, that's for Adam Smith, .com.
LockeandSmithFoundation.org or .com?
.com. And when they get to our website, they can actually review the last 2 years of our legislative review. So they can see how it is that we did it, what our 9 criteria questions are, and they can also see who the winner in 09 was and who the winner in 10 was and who the winner in 11 was. And September the 15th, we will find out who the winner of 2012 is.
Okay, very good. And Tom, you're also running for state rep in what district?
The newly formed 131st.
Okay, and they can find you at?
Vote Tom for the number 4 Mo.com.
Okay, very good. Tom, thank you so much for helping us to introduce Yankee Doodle Legislation Alert. We'd like to have you back next week if you're available. We appreciate it very much.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom. We're going to take another commercial break, and we're going to come back with Bob McCarty, and he's going to talk about his book, 3 Days in August, and he's got another book in the wings. So stay with us.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people.
Jobs, taxes, traditional family values, education, protecting the unborn, Second Amendment, tort reform. These are the issues facing Missourians today. Hi, I'm Terry Varner. As your next state senator, I will continue to work to change government by preserving our liberties, reining in wasteful spending, and making the state of Missouri responsive to its citizens. I am a pro-life constitutionalist who believes our state and federal constitution bear for reputation from overreaching government. I firmly believe that only by ignoring those documents has the government at all levels been able to trample on the liberty of his people. I would appreciate your vote this August 7th. I'm Terry Varner, and I approve this message.
Welcome to Grassroots Radio. We're rolling along here. We're kind of running a little, we've been a little long, so I'm going to kind of cut the commercial breaks a little short so we can get our guests in. Our next guest is blogger and author Bob McCarty from BobMcCarty.com. And he's written a new book, 3 Days in August. And he's here to tell us a little bit about that. But Bob, you've been doing more than just writing books these days. You've got another thing going on too. And I was on your website last night, and it's totally different than what I've been used to. So how are you doing tonight, Bob?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on, Lisa.
Well, yeah, we really appreciate it.
After 6 years, nearly 6 years online, I finally redesigned the website. And I am, from this point forward, no longer a blogger. I have shed the pajamas. I'm wearing shoes most of the day. And I'm no longer calling myself a blogger. It's retired.
The blogging world is in mourning because you did a lot of great work on BobMcCarty.com.
Well, I'm still going to put work on BobMcCarty.com, and I appreciate those kind words. But most of the work I've been doing in the past couple of years has been investigative work, very little of what most people consider blogging. I've been working on the book you mentioned, 3 Days in August, and I've got a new one, which is just a few months from completion, called The Clapper Memo. And no, it has nothing to do with turning lights on or off.
We'll get to that in a minute, but I was looking at the... Don't make me laugh. I was looking at the trailers that you had for the Clapper Memo. I mean, well, I know about the 3 Days in August book, and it's appalling. Those of you who out there who've read 3 Days in August, to understand the corruption and the way that we can throw our military folks under the bus is appalling. But I think when you read the Clapper Memo, it's going to be even more engaging and more telling. So, but let's back up. Let's talk about 3 Days in August, Bob. Great book. You and I have talked back and forth about it. I don't, you know, with this kind of thing going on with our military and how this poor guy got thrown under the bus to save the diplomatic envoys of across the country, you know, I don't know why people go into the military. This poor guy has just been through it.
Yeah, you know, and believe me, this book was not intended to besmirch anyone in the military. It's really just trying to get one member of the military who was basically given a raw deal. It's just intended to spread the word and hopefully get people riled up enough that we can get him a new trial, or even better yet, have all of his charges dropped and have his conviction overturned. But I should probably back up and tell your listeners about the book. Basically, in March of 2010, I became aware of the story of Army Green Beret Sergeant Kelly Stewart. He had been accused by a 28-year-old German woman of rape and kidnapping while he was on assignment. He had just been assigned to a NATO school in Germany where he was a sniper and survival skills instructor, and he was living in a hotel until he got his permanent quarters. He went out to a nightclub in Stuttgart nearby that was popular with Americans. He met this young lady on the dance floor. Things progressed until, a couple hours after midnight, they both agreed they were going back to his hotel. Both of them knew it was going to be a one-night stand, you know. As much as anybody will think poorly of him for that decision, those kinds of things happen, especially when soldiers are far from home, okay? So get past that. It's probably the worst move, the worst decision he ever made in his life. But they had their one-night stand. He said it was pretty much uneventful as those go, you know? And about a little over 2 months later, he had not seen her again, but she had gone to the police in the local community there and reported that he had raped and kidnapped her in the hotel room that night. He didn't find out anything about the allegations until early in 2009, and he found out by going to the personnel office at the Army post where he was located and found out his records were flagged. A couple months later, he found out why they were flagged, and in May of 2009, he was undergoing an Article 32 investigation, or preliminary hearing phase, where the Army had to decide whether the charges the lady was making against him were worthy of court-martial. Well, lo and behold, they found him needing to stand trial for these charges. So there was no evidence, no physical evidence, no eyewitnesses, nothing to support. It was just a he said versus she said situation.
And then the rest of your book chronicles the details and the allegations and lack thereof of support of those allegations. Can you kind of give us a rundown? How's Kelly doing?
Well, he's doing well. He was found guilty during 3 days in August of 2009. He was sentenced to 8 years at Leavenworth. Later, there was a post-trial hearing. His sentence was reduced from 8 years down to 3 years. And 7 months after that reduction in sentence, he was actually released from Leavenworth early, and he's out on parole right now. He's living in Virginia. With his family. As I said, he made a bad decision to have the one-night stand with a woman who was not his wife, but he is not the first person to do that wearing the uniform. They never charged him for adultery. He is living in Virginia. He cannot live in Colorado where his wife and children are located because Colorado requires anyone who's been convicted of a sexual offense, and he is now branded a sex offender for the rest of his life unless the charge gets overturned or reversed. And so he's living in Virginia while his family is residing in Colorado. Colorado makes a person sign a statement admitting their guilt before they can live in the state, and he refuses to admit guilt for the crimes which he did not commit. Now, the book itself, it's based on extensive interviews I've done with Kelly and other people. It's based on the actual record of trial. I'm the only media person, reporter, investigator in the world that Kelly Stewart has talked to. I was just fortuitous in gaining that opportunity. But, you know, it's if anybody reads the book and reads, you know, the actual record of trial, which I go through almost line by line, you can't help but find the guy innocent. And if you still think he's guilty after reading it, he says, so be it. At least you read it. But he hasn't run into anybody yet who's read the entire record of trial or read my book who doesn't just feel like their blood's boiling afterwards. So this guy, the country spent nearly $1 million training him. For more than 15 years, his record was, he was the cream of the crop. He was on his way to the top. You know, he's the son of a 30-year special operations guy. He was heading for stars, okay? But thanks to this lady, who, by the way, in the German system, gets compensated monthly as a victim of a sex-related offense, and who, by the way, was a mental patient for 4 months prior to this, and who, by the way, during the trial said that she was not able to be around men or be with men anymore since the night she was with Stewart. Her friends came forward later and said she had actually slept with two and possibly three men after she had been with Stewart, and two of them took place before the trial, at which she said she couldn't be with men. So,
yeah, and all of this, they threw this very valuable, trained military man under the bus for diplomatic, international diplomacy.
Pretty much, and you know that's how they treated this guy. He had spent most of the previous 4 years doing what he calls secret squirrel stuff, undercover, blending in with the population in Iraq for 4 years. And in the book, I have a couple. One chapter in particular is based on an interview I did with one of his special forces brothers about how Kelly, in John Wayne fashion, one guy he's with on a little gun truck. One guy gets shot in the chest. Another buddy is down there tending to him, you know, as a medic. And Kelly's driving the vehicle and firing the machine gun on top, going through a Sadr City, which is kind of like the Dodge City of the Surge era in Iraq. And he's doing this, you know, all by himself. This is the kind of guy, you know, he just, mm-hmm. just he would give his life for his buddies. He did it for 4 years. He gets finally he gets reassigned to schoolhouse duty in Germany, which they all have to do once in a while. And he made a mistake, but the mistake shouldn't have cost him his career, more or less his life and his family, which it has so far.
Yeah. This book is loaded with documentation, loaded with information. The facts will just shock you. So, Bob, where can you get the book?
You can get it on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. You can walk into virtually any bookstore in America and ask for it by name, but very few of them are stocking it. To learn more about it, you go to 3daysinaugust.com. or BobMcCarty.com. But yeah, it's out there. I did a book signing at Barnes & Noble recently in the St. Louis area, and we sold more books than any other author had so far this year.
Excellent.
So it's moving. Now, should I say that I was the only author at this Barnes & Noble this year or not?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I just love saying that. I've sold more at this store than any other author, though I'm the only author at the bookstore this year. But anyway.
When will the Clapper memo be out?
The Clapper memo, I hope to get out by October 1st. Now,
okay.
The skinny on the Clapper memo is I've connected the dots, no kidding, between the deaths of dozens of Americans at the hands of the people we call our allies in Afghanistan. These are the green-on-blue killings. I've connected the dots between those killings, why they're happening at such a fast pace. We've had more than, I think it's up to around 60 Americans killed by friendly, you know, Afghans, supposedly, since 2007, okay? And I've connected those killings with a memo signed by the guy who now serves as our Director of National Intelligence, James R. Clapper, Jr. Now, James R. Clapper, Jr., I couldn't resist the name Clapper, so the book is called The Clapper Memo.
Okay, and you can read more about that at BobMcCarty.com, too. Bob, we'll have you back to talk more about the Clapper Memo because I want to get into it in greater detail, but we're running a little long. Thanks for being with us tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Lisa. Take care.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we have really run long, and I don't want to cut Ben off too short, but I do want to get him in here. I'm going to skip the commercial breaks, and we're going to go straight to Ben Evans. Ben is also cut his teeth in the St. Louis Tea Party, but now he is with Heritage Action, and he's doing some grassroots organizing to help people have a stronger voice with the federal government and their Congress. So good evening, Ben. I'm sorry for running so long. I kind of want to get you in here real quick and kind of find out what you've been doing since you've left the Tea Party here in St. Louis. Well, I guess you've actually left the Tea Party. You're just doing something a little different. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I'm still doing work with the Tea Party. Good to hear you, by the way.
Thanks for being with us. I'm sorry for running so long. I went to the Heritage Action website. You guys are doing some very interesting work in organizing the grassroots effort to kind of hold the feet to the fire of the Congress.
That's absolutely it. Heritage Action started about 3 years ago. Of course, everybody knows Heritage Foundation and the work they've done. They've got great policy experts. They get all the work out there on the different policies that are coming before Congress. And during the healthcare debate, they found that they were having trouble getting to many of the legislators. They'd walk into an office, and then they'd be followed up by 9-10 different lobbyists. And so Heritage decided to start Heritage Action, and that's essentially the action arm of Heritage Foundation. And the main goal of Heritage Action is to influence Congress with the voices of all the Heritage members out there.
So tell me a little bit about the meat and potatoes of what you guys are trying to do. What's your main goal?
So citizen lobbyist is a word that I've used a lot. What we want to do is, a lot of people know about the national issues. We talk about how we want to stop spending. We talk about how we want to rein in Washington, but we don't know the practical details. So what Heritage Action does is they put out alerts on different bills and amendments that are coming up so that the regular person can read about it and they can act on it by calling the legislator or leaving a comment on a blog or write a blog post. It's just sort of putting the tools of lobbying into the hands of regular people.
You guys have got something pretty interesting there. I was kind of reading about the legislative scorecard. The grassroots movement is all about holding people, holding the legislators and the electeds their feet to the fire. So tell me a little bit about that legislative scorecard and how that works.
So this is, I love our legislative scorecard because the way it works, it's very simple. We put out a key vote alert on a different bill or amendment that's out there. So for instance, what's coming up tomorrow is the Prenatal Non-Discrimination Act, and we've key voted this. So we expect our legislators to vote yes on this. And what that bill does is it imposes criminal penalties on doctors who knowingly provide sex selective abortions. So we've got that action alert up on our website. And what we hope people will do is with this information, they can call up their legislators and tell them to vote yes on this particular bill or no on another amendment or bill that's out there. And a lot of times people think that their phone call doesn't make a difference, but we've got a great government relations team in D.C., and they've been doing the work for the last 3 years and getting our organization together. And legislators do listen to phone calls, especially when people act on their own. If there's not even an action alert up, they actually do listen to people and they pay attention to what their constituents are saying. So that's ultimately the goal, is to get these action alerts out there on different bills and to have people call up in the different congressional districts out there. So my role is really to find activists that are already doing the work in each of our congressional districts. And my region is maybe 150, 200 miles around St. Louis, most of southern Illinois, most of the Missouri congressional districts, and finding people to actually communicate with their legislators. So we're not looking for people to do the extra stuff. It's the people that are already doing the work out there, the people already doing the research, writing the blog posts, calling their legislators. That's who we're looking for.
So Heritage Action is doing kind of on a national level what Missouri Grassroots is trying to do on a local level and just make the voice stronger, unify the voice, because we know from the results of the past couple of elections that the Tea Party does have an influence, and they are listening to the Tea Party. They are listening to the grassroots people, and those votes do really matter. So you guys are also incorporating a lot of social media, Twitter, that kind of thing. You've reached out to that younger demographic who's very familiar with that venue to help unify the voice and help spread the word and get the information out, yes?
Yeah, I've got a Twitter account. It's Heritage Act Mo. Heritage Action has its own Twitter account. And our hashtag for our daily that goes out is hashtag HAction. And so through all that, you can find out about what's going on. The great thing about our website is we've got a Facebook page, but on our website, what we do is we put up each legislator. So it's actually a pretty interactive website, and we're always looking for feedback and how to make it better for people to use, a better tool for them to use. And you can go find your legislator on there. You can see their scorecard, why they have the score that they have, by going down through each of the different votes they have. We usually put notes in there on different things that they can talk to their legislator about that day. And also what we're trying to push people to use is a notes section at the bottom. So if you go search Todd Akin, for instance, he's actually got the best score out of our Missouri delegation. We wish it was higher, but it's the best score in the Missouri delegation. And there's a notes section at the bottom. So if somebody goes and talks to Todd Akin about an issue, they can leave a note at the bottom of the screen, and other people can see that note, see what they talked about, what they learned about when they talked to Todd Akin. Because ultimately, to be citizen lobbyists, we got to be in the know about all this stuff. And the website, the key vote alerts, all the information that we're putting out there, and me as a resource, is designed to give people the tools to influence Washington.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic. It's a great resource. Everybody needs to go to heritageaction.com. Sign up to be a part of that and to get that information and to contribute to that as well, because they are listening to you. Ben, we would love to have you back again. If you have any special projects or any information you want to share, I hope you'll come back and give us some more feedback on Heritage Action. I really appreciate you being with us tonight. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Have a good evening.
Bye.
Okay. We are about to wrap up. It's been a very fast hour, and we've kind of got everybody in under the wire. We need a little bit, probably more time to elaborate on some of this great information. Go to the heritageaction.com website. It's fantastic. I was browsing through it the other day. There's a lot of information, and really, your voice is more effective. They do. Ben is right. They are listening to you. The Tea Party and the grassroots movement has influenced elections like nobody's business in the last couple of years. We are about to wrap up. Next week, we'll have Alex McCarthy of Americans for Prosperity and Missouri Precinct Project with us. We'll hope you'll be able to join us. Also, go to the MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.com and sign up if you haven't signed up to become a member. Our membership is growing. We're very happy to see that. Make your voice heard out throughout Missouri and become informed and involved in those elections and the primary that's coming up in August. We'll have the MOPS ladies on to talk about that next week. Thank you for being with us. I'm Lisa Payne Nager. This has been your Culture Vigilante Hour. We'll talk to you next week.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.